The Chris Burns Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Hey, welcome to the Chris Burns Show. It's Sunday afternoon. So happy that I could join you for the next hour. And it's going to be an interesting hour because if you've been looking at the news, which I'm sure you have constantly, if you're like me and you've been basically quarantined into your home, then all of us are sitting and watching news reports. And one of the hardest things about this is the incredible volume of information. Imagine this for a second. You can think of something like this happening 100 years ago. So in the Spanish flu in 1918, I just found out my grandfather was actually born in 1918 during the Spanish flu. So and he lived. He was born. My other grandfather's sister was born at the same time. And it was such a bad pandemic that she passed away directly after being born. But if you think about information back then, it was trying to get the most information possible from limited sources. And now we almost have that flipped on its head where we have unbelievable amounts of information coming at us at all times. It's almost trying to just figure out what is real, what is not, what articles should we be listening to, what should we not be listening to. And it can be overwhelming because we live in this age of technology. This is the first time we've experienced anything like this in the age of technology, where we can jump on and see exactly what's going on or hear reports of what's going on across the world with this in a way that past generations never would. But on the flip side, then, we have so much disinformation right now. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Later in the show, we're going to dig into, we have a special guest. I'm very excited. We're going to bring in Eric Erickson. He's going to jump in with us to talk about what is Congress doing and what's it actually going to look like. What's the timeline? We're hearing Mitch McConnell has come out and said, hey, look, we're going to try to have something passed tomorrow, the next phase of the stimulus plan. Is that actually realistic? So I wanted to bring in an expert on that. And I also happen to be recording from his home studio, because that was the only place we could go to be live today, because thankfully WSB is following really healthy protocols here. And so because Eric's here, we're going to make use of that. But in the first part of the show, what I want to talk about is this. In the midst of all the information that's coming down, and there's a lot of it right now, all the different things that are coming down, and I'll list that out in a second, how can you prepare yourself to be in the best possible position to weather the next number of weeks? What are you doing to put yourself in that place? Because there's so many questions right now. If you want to join the show, it's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK to jump on live and again, dig into what could you do right now? Because again, there are so many things coming at us, but we know a few things clearly right now. We know we are supposed to, even if it's not required in Georgia right now, we are supposed to be basically keeping our distance from each other, not congregating in large groups, staying home if you can stay home, if it's not a critical job. And so there's so many question marks about, well, what do I do then to put myself in the best possible position? And I tell you what, one of the hardest things about this is that while we wait for Congress, actual life is happening around us. And if you were to pull up the Wall Street Journal right now, here's what you'd see. Front page, confirmed overall cases across the world, over 300,000 now. And the next article is the worst of the sell-off isn't here yet. And so you're going to have continued market sell-offs, and you don't have to look at the front page to see that, but there's nothing exciting or it's going to give you hope or strength as you look at the front page of the news right now. Because the reality is, nothing's going to change dramatically about the fundamentals of what's going on in the market or your 401k or anything like that until we see some sort of significant, solid advance on our attack on the virus, right? Until the virus turns around, don't expect to see the economy and certainly not the stock market have some sort of significant change. And if you want to take that a step deeper, then you go, all right, well, the economy itself is more and more impacted. And let me give you an idea of the ripple of this just for a second, because this is critical, okay? So think about this. I run a small business, right? My small business pays rent every month. And so we have rent due coming up. And the people we pay rent to are part of a larger building. So they have rent due to the larger building. And then the larger building owes still owes fees to the developer that created the building. And so you have this whole trickle-down effect of everybody owing everybody else money, and yet we're all not supposed to go into the office or do work. And so am I supposed to pay, and I'm sure people that run my building who are listening are listening very closely to this part of the segment, but am I supposed to pay for rent if I'm not even supposed to be there? And we live in a state where I still, in theory, could be there. It's recommended that I'm not. That might change in the next few days. What about if you're in Nevada right now, if you're in New York, if you're in LA, and you can't be there? But you're still expected to pay, right? And then there's another level above that where they're still expected to pay. Your landlord's still expected to pay for their mortgage, right? And that's just a microcosm of what so many of us are experiencing right now, is the reality of this domino effect that goes all the way down to the most basic aspects of, am I going to pay rent? Or am I going to pay my mortgage? What am I going to choose to pay if I'm not even utilizing those things? And that's where we say, okay, well, the government's going to step in with these various stimulus packages. But the first set of stimulus to be passed did nothing addressing that. The next set of stimulus that's supposed to be passed would be talking about possibly direct payments to all America, to a big chunk of Americans, possibly the Small Business Administration offering loans to small businesses so they can keep making payroll, keep paying rent, things like that. These are in theory in the works, and this is what we hear talked about, but none of that has passed yet. And so we're all a few days into what feels like the unknown right now. And I want to take that down to a super practical level for a minute and just say, because remember, this show is about you. It's not primarily about just what's going on across the world. Every show that you're listening to is talking to you about, you know, how do you handle the virus? What's going on across the world? What's the overall economic impact? And we can answer those questions and talk about that. But what are you doing to get through this in the short term until hopefully some help arrives? And the reality is this, and we have to own something that's very challenging here. And that's that as much as the government is going to provide as much stimulus as they can, and there's a lot of disagreements in the government about how to do that, obviously, but as much stimulus as they may provide, in the end, it's still going to fall back on you and I. We are not too big to fail, quote unquote. We are not, in 2008, the banks that were propped up and bailed out. The government can throw a ton of money at this and needs to on some levels. And some of that is critical in helping us get through, because this is like the foundational elements of what's making the economy struggle right now are entirely different than, for instance, the 2008 crisis, the dot-com bubble crisis, or even if you go back, you'd have to go back to the Spanish flu, again, 102 years ago, to have anything resembling this, where it's literally, we can't go out, we can't work. And so, yes, we need government assistance. But in the end, as much as the government may or may not be able to do, which is still in question, it's still going to fall on some level on us. And so obviously, we cannot just sit here and go, well, I hope it's okay. And I hope the government bails us out. And I hope we get enough stimulus that we'll be all right. So the question is, well, what are you doing then? And what can I do to put ourselves in the best possible place to handle the kind of flexibility needed? Well, one thing you can do right now, I had the chance to go on Fox and Friends earlier this week. We had to Skype in because everybody's Skyping right now because you can't go into a studio. And so Skyped in and we're trying to talk about this. And one of the main things is, I know that your econ professor, I know that your mom and dad maybe growing up said, never, ever stop contributing to your 401k. That is your long-term savings. And in fact, this is the ideal time to be, quote, buying the dip, right? Because we are in a serious dip. The Dow is down about 35% from its most recent high. And so a lot of people, especially young people, it seems like a prime opportunity to go, you know what, let's just keep putting money in. If you have a 401k, keep putting money into it. If you have side investments, now's the time to dig into that. Except for this. Remember that your 401k is a long-term investment vehicle. You would be amazed how many folks I sit down with right now that are intelligent, they've worked really hard, they have great long-term executive, they've been executives for years, whatever that is, they're not people that don't understand finance. But they walk into my office, and when I look at their situation, they've got a ton of money in their 401k, which they can't really touch without penalties, without possible issues. If you take a loan right now, we have layoffs, et cetera. And they have hardly any money in liquid savings. This underscores how critical it is right now to be flexible. That, in fact, I would say flexibility, the ability to pivot and change right now, is the key ingredient to being successful. And you might say, well, that's great to hear at this point, but I'm sitting in a situation where I am not flexible, right? I have put all my money in my 401k. It's not something I can easily access other than a loan. And there can be problems with that, because if I take a loan on my 401k and then I'm laid off, if I take a loan on my 401k and I have to move companies, There can be tax consequences there. I don't have a lot of liquidity. Well, the answer is not to sit and shame yourself and go, oh man, I wish I had done this. The answer is to say, well, what do I do right now to make sure I'm in the best position I can be? That's all I can do. And so one thing is, have you stopped contributions to your 401k? In a perfect world, you would keep contributing, because in a perfect world, you'd have so much liquid cash just sitting there that you'd go, I'm going to take advantage of this significant dip because this will turn around. And in the end, I'm going to really benefit from this. That's great. And for some people listening, you're in a position to do that. But other folks listening right now, you're not. You're in a place where literally, you know, you don't have even 1 month sitting in savings, but you might have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a 401k, but no immediate money you can access. So one thing you can do, stop contributions to the 401k for a period of time to increase your net paycheck and begin putting more money away. And that's just one area, because there's so many areas right now that we can do this where we say, hey, long term, it might not be the best strategy. Long term, for instance, paying the minimums on your debt, that's another option, is not the best strategy. But short term, right now, I would say pay the absolute minimum on any debt that you have, because you want to keep as much liquid cash in your account as you can right now. So liquidity and flexibility currently, this is not always the case, but currently trumps long-term savings and some of the traditional things that you've been told to do. So when you're thinking through the grid of how do I handle this, currently, right now, you want to think liquidity. Hey, I see calls in the line. We'll get to those as soon as we can. But remember, right now, think liquidity. That's going to be the absolute best thing to enhance your flexibility as we walk through a period of time where we truly are dealing with the unknown.
Can't get enough of Chris? Follow him on Twitter at CW Burns for more.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Chris Burns. Again, we're sitting and talking about what is the practical impact this is having on you, and what can you do right now to put yourself in a position, or others in a position, to weather the next few weeks, because we don't know yet. In a minute, we're going to talk more about what Congress is doing. We don't know yet exactly how those stimulus packages are going to go through, but we do know that in the short term, it's how do we make it through this? What's the most effective thing we can do? We're going to go to the phones. We have a caller. Truett is calling in. Truett, thanks so much for calling the Chris Burns Show.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
You know what? I just went to a McDonald's, went through the drive-thru, and paid forward $150 for everybody behind me, and I didn't get anything. That's what we need to do. We need to help each other. The bottom line is, if we don't isolate, where are we going to get ahead with what's going on? I work for GDOT. I'm at the job. I put in 60 hours last week.
Wow.
My job is not going to stop. The traffic level is wonderful. I can get to work in 30 minutes, whereas it was an hour and a half. The traffic level is awesome.
Right.
But if we don't isolate, we're not going to get a grip on this.
Well,
I don't mind helping people out. But at the same token, where is it going to end?
Yeah, I appreciate your call. First of all, thank you so much for your time and your service and the fact that you're still working right now in the midst of all this, because that is an essential job. Two things that Truett said really stick out to me. One is that he was willing to pay it forward. And so right now, with the government still sitting trying to figure out stimulus, I'm hearing more and more stories from people that are actually doing this, that are walking in and buying gift cards at restaurants and then leaving them at the restaurants and saying, hey, if people come in, they don't have the ability to pay, you can use this to help them pay. And that helps the restaurant and helps people that don't have meals right now. I love that. And then the second thing that he says, if people don't isolate, we're going to be in trouble. Psychologically, the problem with this is that if we're isolating and it actually works, it feels like we're overreacting. But the reality is, every shred of evidence says we have to isolate. Okay, but in the midst of that isolation, in the midst of going, okay, we're doing what we're supposed to do, how are we going to get through it? And like I just talked about, sure, if you were in a position to pay it forward right now, if you were in a position to go and help others through what Truett just mentioned, that's fantastic. But a lot of you right now are going, I don't know how I'm going to have the funds to get to the stimulus that in theory is coming. And even when it does come, I don't know if it's going to be enough. So what do we do about that? And one thing we talked about is, well, what are the practical things you can do right now? Right now, you can sit and go, I'm going to stop any extraneous bills that I don't have to pay. I'm going to pay the minimums on my debt. I'm going to pull back on my 401k. I'm going to check on my credit and see what kind of credit is available to me should things go south. Just be looking at everything that you could do to create liquidity in your situation, which is different than what we would normally advise. Now, in a minute, we're going to have Eric Erickson jump on, talk about what the government is doing. But the key is you do everything possible in the midst of this truly unprecedented situation.
Want to know more about Chris Burns and Dynamic Money? Follow Dynamic Money on Facebook. Just search Dynamic Money.
Hey, we're back on the Chris Burns Show. We have a special guest joining us, Eric Erickson, mainly because I'm not giving him a choice. How much time did you have to prepare for this, Eric?
10, 15 minutes.
I think about 10 minutes ago, I texted you, come on in, because I'm in his home office. I'm in his home office because, thankfully, WSB has strong restrictions on what's going on, who can come into the offices right now, who can record. And Eric Lysol'd this place down. I walked in. It smelled like Lysol. And so we're going to just make this work. But I wanted to bring him on because we want to answer questions about specifically what we think is happening in Congress, what the stimulus bills could do to impact you. If you have questions about that, we'll do our best to answer them. The number again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. But again, just thank you to Truett for calling in. I love the concept that he's out there working hard in the state of Georgia as an essential job, and yet he would stop even at McDonald's and pay it forward to all these people behind him. Because in the end, until this stimulus comes through, there is a level at which we rely on each other, but we also have to rely on ourselves, which is a strange feeling when you're used to having a job that's consistent and normal. We know that coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to see significant spikes in unemployment. We're already preparing to see what those numbers are. We already know unemployment claims have gone way up. So what can you do right now to prepare yourself? And what is Congress trying to do right now to get stimulus to the American people and to small businesses as quickly as possible? Again, if you have questions, that number is 404-872-0750. It's 1-800-WSB-TALK. But I do think it's just interesting how many people right now are trying to figure out what should I be doing. And the more that you can cut back on stuff that is great and critical normally for you, that you're contributing your 401ks and you're paying down your debt and all that. But to say for a moment, we're going to circle the wagons here and say, how do we get as much funds as we can into liquid savings so we're ready for whatever might happen? And yes, maybe we wanted that to happen 3 months ago. Maybe a year ago or 2 years ago would have been a good time to do this, but that's not where we sit right now. So what do we do right now to put ourselves in the best possible place? And one thing I think a lot of people are missing is the reality that if you were to lose your job, your access to credit might be severely restricted. And so if you've been thinking about, for instance, a refinance on your home, if you're in a place where you can do a cash out refinance on your home, it was already on your mind, go ahead and think about that seriously at this point. You might want to look at moving forward with that kind of a strategy because that could free up, and again, this isn't true for everyone, but that could be the kind of option that would free up liquid cash for you that you don't have right now, get you into a better interest rate so you're good down the road, but have some ability to handle what the next few weeks might look like. You have to be creative in this. And remember, in 2008, what we saw was just because you own a home, if you were to lose your job, doesn't mean you qualify to refinance your home anymore. Just because it's your home and you have collateral in it and you have equity in it doesn't mean a bank's going to approve you if you don't have a job. And so be looking at these things while you're in a position to have, while you're working and you can show employment, because that actually impacts your ability to get that position. And Eric, I know you guys refinanced recently and it was ended up being a win for you, not because of COVID or anything else, but it did give you more liquidity now moving into the situation.
Yeah, and now I'm starting to wonder if we need to do it again, because it was before Thanksgiving when we did it. And now with all the interest rates that have happened again, how soon can you refinance again?
Yeah, a lot of folks that do refinancing will tell you 6 months. And some of the reason they tell you that behind the curtain is because they'll get a charge back basically on some of the commission they might have earned on that. But the reality is something kind of strange that has happened is interest rates have actually They actually went up a little bit on 30-year mortgages, even though we saw overall interest rates drop, and that'll probably correct itself. But it was simply because we're kind of in territory we haven't seen before, where basically normally you see interest rates on mortgages pretty closely tied to that 10-year treasury. But the 10-year treasury went so low that interest rates actually broke off from it. So we're hoping to see that kind of come back together. But they're still not that high. They're still historically, and by any indicator, they're in a good place. But that's just an example of one place you might want to look while you're still employed, if you're still employed, while you still have the strong credit and the employment and the income and everything else. It's what can you proactively do now to put yourself in a position, because 4 weeks from now, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. And we have to own that. And that's okay. But how can we be flexible right now? And I wonder, do you have any stories you're seeing people calling your show of how they're creating flexibility to handle some of the craziness going on?
A lot of people, I think, are still kind of worried about what to do, and they can't decide how long this is going to be. That uncertainty, I think, has messed people up. I will say one of the things that I do appreciate that I'm seeing people doing is just stepping up their willingness to help local restaurants and local nonprofits, being willing to spend the money they have to help other people they know don't have it, which is good. There was a great story yesterday, I think, in the New York Times about a group of kids in New York City have been going around buying up groceries and delivering to elderly people in their neighborhood using their own money and resources to do it, which is handy. But it's this uncertainty out there right now that I think, do people, are they going to stay home for 2 weeks? Is it going to last a month? That has kept people from really deciding what to do.
Well, and part of that uncertainty is, I think, a lot of folks right now, and I talked about before about the domino effect, where you see small businesses right now feel probably the most crushed by this because A, they don't have the reserves that some larger businesses have, and B, the first round of stimulus actually in some ways penalized small businesses the most. And so they're all sitting around going, when's that next round of stimulus going to come? It's going to help us maybe offer, you know, interest-free loans to small businesses. What do you see? The news right now is saying this is going to be fast, fast, fast. But I'm wondering, just because of how much you're studying this and talking with folks, how quickly do you think Congress is going to be able to move forward with a plan? And what are your thoughts right now on what that might look like? Not that I expect you to have the crystal ball here.
Well, they thought they were going to have it passed through tomorrow, but Nancy Pelosi left last week, has only just returned to Washington, and is now announcing she doesn't like the plan after not having had any input with it for the last week, which will annoy Republicans. I'm sure people in the media will distract from that, but that's going to drag it out further this week. The big fighting is within the Republican Party over what to do with means testing. Some of them kind of understand it's not fair to not do a cost of living adjustment here because people, for example, in an urban area like Atlanta, $75,000 doesn't get you as far as it does down in South Georgia. So how do you do cost of living adjustments in this? The plan right now the Republicans are rallying around is $1,200 for people who make $75,000 or less. One of the issues that they're looking at still is if they give people who make more than $75,000 that, do they then create a new tax that slowly reimburses the government for the money over time later?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions right now and pushback because I think you make a great point. Obviously, $75,000 in certain parts of Georgia, even rural Georgia, could go a long way towards paying your bills. And $75,000 a year might be a great income. Whereas in a different part of the country, my brother lives out in California and works in the inner city in California. But even then, that's not going to help much, that stimulus package, in terms of helping them pay their bills, et cetera. And so there's massive disparity across the board. All right, we're going to run to the phones. We have Miss Jones with a call. Miss Jones, thank you so much for calling the Chris Burns Show. How can we help you?
Yes, good evening, Chris. I'm enjoying your show. Okay, here's my situation. I don't think that I'm going to be eligible for in the stimulus tax. I'm a senior citizen. I'm 73 years old, but my children, I want to help them. But it's been 4 years. I got some old insurance policies that I've been trying to cash in, but the insurance company won't give me my money. They keep giving me, putting me through red tape. And I need that money, and I desperately need it because I have some medical expenses and some credit cards. I got some payday loans. I don't exhaust it. My payday loans out. Tried to have extra money to live on. So right now, is there anything I can do to get them to release my money?
Sure, that's a great question. So you have cash value insurance. Paul, Eric can't actually hear the questions because we have one pair of headphones. So I'm relaying them. I'm going to speak back what you're saying. But you have a cash value insurance policy, and
yes.
You've tried to go and cash that in and get the cash out. And right now you said you're having to jump through hoops. They're not making that easily available to you. Is that correct?
Right. The policies are very old. I took them out when my kids were children. And over the years, but I don't need them now. I don't really need them. And so I have exhausted all my funds out from places that I could get funds. So I thought I'd cash those policies in.
Sure.
They paid up. I paid them for 10 years. They hold that policy. But the insurance company won't give me my – they won't let me even file a claim.
Okay, well, thank you so much. So here's the issue here, and this is something that is worth thinking about. First of all, cashing in on insurance policies, if you have a whole life policy or universal life policy, which can get into the weeds, but if you think you have a cash value insurance policy, this is an area you can look at for extra cash right now, either through a loan, because you can take loans off of those policies, or possibly cashing them in and actually just taking the cash. But this is a crucial thing you want to speak with a financial planner about, because there is so much fine print that goes into that. And so especially before you stop an insurance policy, make sure you understand the fine print. But if you know what's going on and you're just having a hard time getting through to the company, that's where it's so helpful to have a financial professional call with you. Probably not the person, sometimes the person that sold you the policy, though often that person's biased to have you keep the policy, right? In this case, I would just say make sure that you understand the fine print. You talk with a financial planner. They could actually call with you the insurance company and help you make that decision. But that is a great point. That's a place you can look at right now for having extra liquidity if needed. Just be careful again about cashing them in versus other options like taking a loan on those policies. It's a great call. We know the president is going to speak. The announcement is at 4:30, I believe, he's going to come on and give an update. So we're going to get new information out of the White House at that point. But right now, we're still all kind of sitting going, we don't know exactly how long it's going to take this stimulus to reach small businesses. Eric, just as you've been looking at this, thinking about this, and you've watched the government for years, any thoughts on what you think after this initial, you know, we've seen Congress move relatively quickly to make an initial stimulus package that would hopefully help a lot of people. What happens 6 weeks from now when this virus is still going and those initial payments have, you know, they've been helpful for a period of time, but now we're sitting going, what's next?
Well, and the question is, do they get out in the next 6 weeks? That's part of the problem. Take Hurricane Michael that blew through South Georgia August before last. Now they're still waiting for those emergency payments to trickle down to South Georgia. So how quickly do the payments get out? Or the FDA bureaucracy holding up masks? Does the Treasury Department? The odds are they don't. But yeah, 6 weeks from now, we're going to have reduced Treasury. We're going to have reduced income to the federal government, but also to the state governments because they've put off paying taxes until July now, the filing deadline.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to do a further stimulus. But the situation as well is if people are still stuck in their houses, where does that stimulus go to get people out of their house if we're not allowed out of our houses?
Yeah, it doesn't fit the normal 2008 economic bailout.
Right.
Because how are we going and spending the money? That's the exact question.
You know, part of the problem as well is you've got competing experts here that the president's going to have to balance. The healthcare experts would say shut everything down. Mm. But can we continue to shut everything down if it wrecks the economy? Probably not. Where do you find the balance between competing experts is part of the problem.
That's a fantastic point. Carol, we see you on the phone. We'll get to you in just a minute. We have to take a quick break, but I see folks waiting on the phone. We'll be right back. This is the Chris Burns Show. We have Eric Erickson answering your questions as well, and we'll try to answer as much as we can.
Want to know more about Chris Burns and Dynamic Money? Check out dynamicmoney.com.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We don't have a lot of time. We have a few folks on the phone, so we're going to jump right into that. We have Carol calling with a question. Carol, thanks for calling the Chris Burns Show. How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm over 70 and a half, so I had to take required minimum distributions.
Yes.
And to reduce my tax liability, I use these distributions to make donations directly to charity.
Sure.
And I'm wondering about a strategy for withdrawing the distributions and making those donations this year. Wondered if I should go ahead and do something now or wait till later in the year, or say make a $2,000 donation now and then later in the year another $2,000, later in the year another $2,000 until I get all the RMD done. So what would be your recommendation?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So I don't know the totality of your financial situation, but I would just say this. Obviously, charities are in need just as much as anyone, if not more so right now, because it's one of the first things people stop is charitable contributions. But I will say, as hard as this is to say, the first thing you need to do is look after your own situation. And so if you're sitting right now without a lot of liquidity, without a lot of money sitting, and you need that, then I would take the money out and put it in savings right now. If you're able to afford, because you have so much money sitting, to still continue those contributions, I know that would mean a lot to the charity, but it has to go on an individual basis. And again, as hard as this is, as much as I believe in paying it forward, you've got to take care of yourself and make sure you're going to be okay before you give away a bunch of money right now, even if that's your normal way of doing things. But that's a great question. And if you can be giving, that's fantastic. Eric had a question as well. We don't have time to answer it, but he just wanted to know, will the stimulus package change how much money people get if they're on a fixed income? Will fixed income folks get more? Eric, quick thought on that. Do you see anything saying that?
Based on the legislation right now, it's everyone under $75,000. They're not discriminating between people who are on fixed income and otherwise.
Okay, so basically overall, even if you're on a fixed income, if you're earning income, it's basically just a cutoff at, if you're making $75,000 or less, that's what it looks like the stimulus package is going to be right now for individuals, regardless of how that works. But no, you wouldn't get more money. Eric, thank you for that question. And thank you for everybody else who's called in and sitting on the lines right now. But we'll hear from the president soon. We'll see if there's any changes. But friends, here's the key. Maintain flexibility as much as you possibly can right now. If you have questions about that, go to dynamicmoney.com. We would love to answer those questions. You can also listen to this podcast at the Chris Burns Show, anywhere that podcasts are found. My friends, thank you to Eric Erickson for being on the show. Your life is more than money.